that the, I think the whole Clinton and NAFTA and the Dolores Huerta, all of that is sort of really important, and I think everybody should look at, because Hillary Clinton likes to bring up her husband's record. She likes to, like, be nostalgic and paint the idyllic picture of the 90s. And we need to kind of look at, like, what has caused migration in the past 20-plus years. So one of the big things, NAFTA caused a lot of migration from Mexico because a lot of southern farmers in Mexico were decimated by that agreement, much the same way American workers were hurt by it. So, I just definitely think that people need to look at that. Dolores Huerta obviously has put her support behind Hillary Clinton. We saw what happened in the Nevada caucuses over the weekend, where she was asserting that Bernie supporters were shouting at her and saying English only when she offered to translate at a caucus.
Right.
You know, there have been a lot of footage played back, and that doesn't appear to be the case. It seems that what was happening is that people in the audience were yelling neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And that it sounds like a moderator going forward, just because they didn't have a neutral translator, said we're going to do this in English or English only, right, you know, for the caucus.
Right. So just to explain, there was a story that Bernie bros, as they call them, that Bernie Sanders supporters were yelling English only at this, you know, hero, a shiro of the immigrant rights, workers' rights, United Farm Workers movement. And, I mean, this is just one example, I think, of a media narrative that gets kind of unchallenged.
Absolutely.
And, in fact, there is even a story today, Time magazine said that Bernie Sanders yelled English only at Dolores Huerta. I don't know if you saw that. But there's an I shouldn't even repeat it, but there's an article in Raw Story where they talk about how they actually repeated the accusation that he yelled it. I mean, this is Time magazine, guys. Time magazine, okay?
But it's bizarre because, I mean, he wouldn't even be at a caucus like that, much like Hillary Clinton wouldn't be at a caucus. So, I mean, the idea that he yelled it at her, I mean, come on.
Right, it's so absurd, right? Yeah, the other thing is a little easier to make up, right? A random person yells English only. It's a little harder to claim that Bernie Sanders did it.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely ridiculous to say that he did it. And the other thing, I think people just need to, like, go, there's enough footage of it on the internet that you can listen to yourself and you can kind of get to the idea. I think Dolores Huerta, and it might have been America Ferrera, who's also a Clinton supporter, was saying that there was chanting. I mean, there was no chanting.
Right.
It was just, like, a few voices.
Right.
If you heard it, it's like, oh, that's not chanting. I mean, chanting to me sounds like you're at a protest and everybody's yelling the same thing and they're all in unison. That was not the case here.
Right.
So basically, I mean, I think what it is that, you know, not to disparage Dolores Huerta, but I think maybe she, you know, got up there and was thinking something else and, you know, she wants to project some, you know, for her candidate.
She also, it's interesting, took to Medium the day before, I guess Friday night, which I, not being ageist, but I like the idea that anyone over 30, is on Medium.
I
think that's funny.
Well, you know, and from what I've heard, I mean, I've heard her speak in person before and been in the same room with her a few times. I know that she did not post that. I mean, like, she has handlers. People do this for her, you know, so.
Yeah,
she's, and you know what? And back in 08, she sort of did a similar number on Obama. She was critical with him about his immigration and that he wasn't involved in things.
Right.
And then all of a sudden Obama gets in office and he's been very tough on immigration and very hard, setting record breaking deportations. And where's Dolores Huerta criticizing him?
Right. Totally true. And in fact, we on the Katie Halper Show, we had Greg Grandin on, talking about going after Obama for his record deportations. In fact, Gabe Pacheco called out Obama when he signed the executive order about gun violence because Gabe was saying, that's great that you're saving lives here. We do want to protect lives. We are very much for gun control. But how about the kids who are still alive here who are going to get sent back to Central America?
Absolutely. I mean, we have to think about like this. I mean, we are in a cyclical relationship with these countries.
Of course. And as you brought up, we pushed through NAFTA. And then, as Greg Grandin said, and I'm sure you know, then we had to toughen the borders because we knew it was going to decimate these countries and make people flee them. And, of course, the history of how we support dictatorships in these areas is a lovely corollary to our economic policy.
Yes, and of note, too, that you might want to explore and is worth it for all your listeners to look at is Hillary Clinton and what happened with the Honduran coup in 2009.
We talked about that when it was like a coup light. First, they kind of called it a coup because, Adriana, it's hard to tell whether it's a coup. The guy, the president, was like kidnapped in his pajamas. But that could be a Honduran legal process thing that we're just being kind of Estados Unidense.
Yeah, he was just put on a plane.
He was given a free ride. Yeah, exactly. What we don't know is that there were sex workers on the plane and bubbly. And I'm just kidding. That's not true. He was kidnapped, guys, and it was a coup. And it's like the most violent place in Central America now.
It is. And that's where a lot of the little children are coming from.
Exactly.
You know, they're afraid to go back. And there have been some reports that some of the children and young people that have been deported from the U.S., you know, from the detention centers here, actually, some of them have been killed back.
Okay. That's so 100. Disgusting, guys. Did you hear that? I mean, this is gross. We are sending kids back to their deaths. It's not, I mean, I know that I'm just saying something that you just said, but it's really disturbing.
Yeah, and it happened pretty soon after their deportations.
Right,
so
right.
So the threat of danger is imminent.
It's imminent, imminent, yeah. Also, in Mexico, they're making their bridges lower so that people who are on top of trains can get decapitated or hurt or thrown off the trains. It's so disgusting.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. And Hillary Clinton, during the debate with Bernie, one of them, she actually, you know, not the one where she praised Kissinger, which was another high point, but during the debate where she said her immigration policies were sending a message. And Bernie Sanders is like, who are you sending a message to? These are kids we're talking about, which was a point well taken. And have you been getting pushback for daring to say that maybe the English-only story isn't 100% legit? Have you been called names, sellout, anything like that?
No, not really. I mean, I just noticed there seem to be some people, like some Hillary people, that are very, I don't know. I mean, they were like, don't talk bad of Dolores Huerta.
Right.
And we're like, well, we're not. We're just saying, you know, her story doesn't add up when you play the video.
Right. I mean, that's another, it kind of reminds me of the thing we were saying about Obama, right? Like, it's not anti-racist to pretend that a person, like, isn't human. You know what I mean? Like,
people are
human and they do things, and you don't disparage her, like, by pointing out that maybe that didn't happen. You don't begrudge her what she did during the, as a labor organizer and as a woman, but to pretend that because she's a great woman, we can't, like, investigate whether something happened, I think is problematic, as we like to say.
No, it absolutely is. But anyway, Katie, I'm going to have to run.
So
but I thank you.
Thank you.
For
and
having
we'll have
me
you
on.
Back on. And we're going to have you without, hopefully, we'll have the funding to actually call you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. And that was Adriana Maestas talking to us about the election, Hillary, Bernie, Huerta Gate, Dolores Huerta Gate, when charges of English only chanting were picked up by the liberal media that literally just said that Bernie Sanders did something that not even the Hillary team media people were saying he did. They were saying it was his supporters, but Time magazine thought they'd take it one step further
and say that Bernie was a villain.
Bernie was a villain.
Shutting
shame
down
on you,
a
Time.
Chicano labor
yes.
activist
yeah.
hero.
Then he went and shot a puppy's head off. He drew straight in the face, point blank. He shot a puppy. A puppy with cancer, missing a paw.
Jesus.
And a vet.
And the vet without borders, who was volunteering his
wow.
time.
Oh, I meant the puppy who had been a veteran and had served to protect our country. Just kidding. I don't know which one I meant. But guys.
An IED
an
finding. A sniffing puppy.
But if that guys. Was Trump that said that, would we think of anything different? I mean,
because that goes with Trump. That's part of his thing. But guys, if you want to hear reports about Bernie Sanders shooting a puppy
in front of a Chicana activist on stage at a caucus near you,
that's hardcore.
Tune in.
Then tune in to the Katie Halper Show on iTunes, on SoundCloud, and give to WBAI.org. That's give2WBAI.org. Give2WBAI.org.
Or call 212-209-2950. Once again, 212-209-2950. Any amount is appreciative, but there are two gifts that's being offered, and one of those gifts is, once again, is the best of Katie Halper.
Yeah, you get amazing gifts. You get, in exchange, you get interviews with Nate Silver, Judah Friedlander, Ted Alexandro, a comedian who actually makes, he doesn't make police brutality funny. He makes important comedy about police brutality. Richard Masser. We had Richard Masser on, who's been in The Thing, It, basically every movie and TV show ever made. All in the Family.
Encino Man.
Encino Man. What was the movie that he was like, he said he couldn't walk down the street without Latino?
Blood In, Blood Out.
Yeah, Blood In, Blood Out.
One of my favorites.
Also, I, on that episode, and you can hear this on The Greatest Hits, you'll hear this nugget, I said that he's like, I couldn't walk down the street without a Latino man saying, what's the line?
Cocaine is America's cup of coffee.
Yeah. And I said something, Katie Halper said something about like, oh, well, sorry, you have to avoid Latin men. And he was like, no, don't say that. I don't do that. And I was like, oh, no, I don't avoid Latin men at all. Trust me. If anything, I avoid my fellow Jewish men, members of the tribe. And a guy wrote to me on my website and called me racist.
Yeah.
I'm not racist.
Wait. Racist and not self-deprecating?
Self-loathing. I know.
Self-loathing.
I get them both.
Well, yeah.
I'm a well-rounded woman.
Okay.
So we're going to be talking to two people right now, Gordon Quinn and Rachel Dixon. And they are filmmakers at Kartemkin Films. And we're going to give them a little bit of time to get into the groove before they actually call us. We just want to give them a warning that we expect them.
Heads up. If you guys feel like calling anytime soon, do so now.
Right.
If you're having any problems, text Katie.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, heads up.
And for the listeners out there, this is a great opportunity to donate money to this organization known as WBAI, which broadcasts a show like the Katie Halper Show. And that number, once again, is 212-209-2950. Once again, 212-209-2950. And if you appreciate the kind of quirky and sometimes murky and sometimes dark.
Lurky. We go real dark.
Dark.
Real dark.
Humor of the Katie Halper Show, yet informative.
Yeah. You guys, we've learned a lot today. You probably didn't know. I'm like insulting. You guys are such idiots. No, I'm just kidding. You may not have known some of the stuff we taught you today. We taught you some really interesting stuff. And we're going to be talking to these some guests, and it's going to be an amazing interview. These people have a fabulous story about how they discovered some footage of Bernie Sanders. Because, you know, Hillary Clinton has been portraying Bernie Sanders as not very good on race. And we remember that...
Has he passed any laws that make welfare harder to get?
Amen. Am I right?
Has he passed any bills that have made further criminalized African Americans?
Amen. Has he increased the carceral state, as Ta-Nehisi Coates calls it, in the Atlantic?
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Did he ever call teenage African Americans
Super predators who need to be brought to heel. Pop quiz. Who said that? Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, 1994. Mm-hmm. Super predators who need to be brought to heel.
Super predators.
Bulletproof.
That makes them sound like X-Men.
Oh, my God. Is it raining all of a sudden? Sorry.
It's raining.
You guys, this is why we need you to call in, because I literally hear the rain over my head.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking to the Rainmaker earlier.
Oh, we were talking Rainmaker.
Right.
But, you know, did you guys watch the town hall last night? There was a Democratic town hall.
Yeah, I saw part of it.
I did not, but how was it?
I thought it was great, and there was something really interesting that happened. And you guys know what religion Bernie Sanders is?
Are we about to find out?
Kind of. I'm going to play something. I did a little video that's about to be...
I know what he is culturally, but what is his religion?
Well, he doesn't really belong to an organized religion, okay. which is fascinating, right? But what was fascinating is that Chris Cuomo, do you guys know who Chris Cuomo is? He's one of the Cuomo dynasty. He's a guy on CNN. He's like absolutely hates Bernie Sanders. You could tell how much he hated him.
Mm.
Not even kidding. And he asked him about his religion last night. And I would just like to play a little bit of that, what he said, because I happen to think that he gave the most amazing response to what your religion is that I've ever heard.
All right.
Okay, so I'm going to play this thing right now. Ready?
Play it right now.
Okay. Ready?
Here we go.
You said your spirituality is that we are all in this together. What do you believe in?
Every great religion in the world, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, essentially comes down to...
We talked about religion. You said your spirituality is that we are all in this together. What do you believe in?
every great religion in the world, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, essentially comes down to do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. And what I have believed in my whole life, I believed it when I was a 22-year-old kid getting arrested in Chicago fighting segregation, that we are in this together. Truth is, at some level, when you hurt, when your children hurt, I hurt. I hurt. And when my kids hurt, and it's very easy to turn our backs on kids who are hungry or veterans who are sleeping out on the street, and we can develop a psychology which says, I don't have to worry about them. All I'm going to worry about myself. I need to make another $5 billion. But I believe that what human nature is about is that everybody in this room impacts everybody else in all kinds of ways that we can't even understand. It's beyond intellect. It's a spiritual, emotional thing. So I believe that when we do the right thing, when we try to treat people with respect and dignity, when we say that that child who is hungry is my child, I think we are more human when we do that. And that is what my spirituality is about.
Amazing was that. Guys, that was the best thing I've ever heard.
Well, obviously, he's an atheist.
Agnostic, I think.
Agnostic.
That was made me want to be religious. I'm Bernie. I believe right. in Bernie.
Well, obviously, he hates all people.
Yeah. Wasn't that like the most, that was the most Judeo-Christian declaration I've ever heard. Remember, we have Christian candidates who like the death penalty,
mm-hmm.
who brag about the death penalty. Clinton doesn't believe in it on a state level, believes in a federal level because her husband passed the terrorist whatever thing. That's not very Christian either. And last night she was talking about forgiveness and reconciliation. I was like, maybe she should get on this whole boat, this abolition of the death penalty, of capital punishment boat. Hop on, Hillary. Hop on. Because you know who already is on that boat? He's at the helm.
Burn.
Burn. He's got that ship is being helmed by Burns. By
Feel
Bernie.
The burn.
Feel the burn.
Feel the burn.
Feel the burn. We're not talking about a heat sense. Well, we are talking about a sensation, but not a third degree one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. First degree. Direct.
First degree.
Feeling the burn. If you could see us right now, our faces need a lot of moisturizer because we're feeling the burn. Just kidding,
feeling
guys. We look great. We look hydrated.
That was a great answer, though.
Wasn't that a great answer? It was such a great answer. That's my spirituality. That's my spirituality. He also talked about the CIA. We got to talk about, Kissinger. We got to have Greg Grandin on. Guys, are you liking what you're hearing? Do you like that little, I made that. I collected that little nugget of sound of Bernie talking about religion. That, I said, was the Jewiest answer on religion we've ever heard.
Jewiest, but yet sincere.
Oh my God, did Reggie just say that? And yet at the same time, despite its Jewiness, was sincere.
Was honest.
Right.
It was an honest point.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank God.
It was good. It was like the best backhanded compliment.
I know.
Towards.
He's like, it was not even, he was not trying to rip anyone off.
No.
No, he wasn't. Gosh. Guys, we're all joking. We're all friends. Reggie can say that kind of stuff because he's in a Jew sandwich. Well,
yeah,
really a Jew adjacent sandwich
because
Gabe is
sandwich.
Just, yeah. But we're really excited. We're going to talk with you about some footage of Bernie Sanders getting arrested at a protest. I just want to bring up another story because, honestly, why is this week different from any other week? It's not. The media, I sound like a conspiracy theory, but I think WBAI, I don't need to explain this. The media is distorting a lot of things.
No conspiracy.
No conspiracy, or it is a conspiracy. That's just not crazy. A conspiracy just means more than one person acting together.
That's true.
That's like every single thing that happens. Am I right?
Yeah.
I got a conspiracy theory about how I was born, conceived of, I should say, and born, because there were doctors there. There were nurses there. Gabe was there. Just kidding. I don't know why. I felt bad. I wanted to include him. I didn't know Gabe then, but I feel like spiritually he was there. What do you guys think?
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roll with that.
Roll with it, right?
Roll with that.
Now, I want to share a little bit of a story that happened to me. I got caparted. Do you guys know who Jonathan Capehart is? He's a journalist.
Oh, from...
You've seen him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm sure you've seen him. Washington Post?
I love the Washington Post.
Yeah. Washington Post, okay.
So he claimed that there's a picture of Bernie Sanders at another protest. This guy, and I know people are like, oh, the last time you were at a protest is 50 years ago, you don't have any cred. Fine. Let's say that he doesn't have, mm-hmm. you know what he does have? His hands have less blood on them than Clinton. That's, I mean, I know that's not a ringing endorsement.
Is there a photo of her at a protest?
She was, okay, here's the, this is actually an interesting debate. People are pointing out, like, look at what she was doing. She was a Goldwater Republican at that
point. There you go.
Here's the thing. You're allowed to evolve. You are allowed to evolve. Mm-hmm. My problem is more that as recently as 94, she said that super predators had to be brought to heel. She's still not against the death penalty. What else?
I mean, at that point in your life, evolving happens, but usually evolving happens, like, you know, in your adolescence.
Puberty. Right.
Right? So, you know, after a certain time, if you're a grown adult that can take responsibility for your opinions.
Right.
What, like between 50 and 60,
you're
going to come up with a completely different radical worldview?
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? We're going to be charitable and say, Hillary, you get to take an L on. No, that's not charitable. Taking an L. You get to, we'll give you one get out of racist jail free card. I don't know as a white person if I'm actually allowed to do that. Can someone, can we have someone call in or someone in the room with me?
Right. I'm going to give you the, I'm going to anoint you, give you the liberties to give her one.
I got a POC badge. Yeah. I got one coin. I got a POC coin. I get to pay it forward.
I'm
people
even,
of color, guys.
POC. Okay. POC. Okay. Actually, I like that.
There's
POC.
There's an interesting article on The Root about, well, this is from 2015, but it still stands, why most black voters. Oh, no. That's a different one for a different time. Ignore that.
Okay.
Definitely be cutting that out of the podcast. Nina Turner is one example. Killer Mike. Killer Mike. We talked about Killer Mike last week.
Killer Mike.
People are trying to say that Bernie Sanders is only supported by young white men, which is ironic because you know what a great way to fight the invisibilizing or making people of color invisible? Pretending that they're not there because there are supporters.
He's supported
Sanders.
By young people, young which people. Is it's crazy that anyone isn't trying to doesn't see that that's
well
important.
Isn't Eric Garner's daughter?
Yes, Erica
supporting
Garner.
Bernie?
There's an amazing video that she
and
did.
And Spike Lee is supporting Bernie?
Yes, guys.
Yeah.
Guys, Spike Lee, Erica Garner.
I mean, if the
Nina Turner. If the sorry.
All young Democrats, not all, but let's say if a majority of young Democrats wants Bernie Sanders and anyone the older establishment party saying that that's not the way to go, it sounds like Kronos trying to eat its young. Like,
oh my God!
What's gonna happen if? Thank you, Greek mythology reference.
Yes, he's not just saying that because he's Greek, guys.
What's gonna happen in the Democratic Party if they don't get behind Bernie Sanders' policies?
They're gonna be left behind.
Yeah, there's
guys,
gonna be a whole bunch of people jumping ship.
If you want this world to look just, if you want a, you know, most of you out there probably don't even want the Democratic Party, right? You want a WBAIocracy. And we're trying to give that to you, but we need your support. Reggie, how are we doing on donations?
Nothing yet, and nothing yet recently.
No, excuse me. Not nothing yet. Come on.
Not well. Nothing
We've had
recently.
Donations, but guys,
nothing recently.
Yeah, guys, give. We
Which
need
means
you to give.
They
we
can
need
give
you to
right
give.
Now
because you're listening to the Katie Halper Show on WBAI, and we're going to bring you our next guests. Very exciting to be talking to these people. They made a discovery. These people are basically Gabe. Who are Nancy Drew?
The Hardy Boys.
And we're going to be talking to them right now. These people discovered some very exciting footage. And Gordon Quinn, are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you so much. And we apologize for the delay. The NSA and probably some other forces have been working against us. Maybe the Koch brothers.
And the Illuminati.
And the Illuminati, yeah. But is Gordon Quinn and Rachel Dixon of... Kartemkin or Kardemkin?
Kartemkin. Kind of sounds like Potemkin.
Okay, got it. So
the famous Russian film. Exactly. And I think Rachel's probably here. Are you here, Rachel?
Yeah, I'm on the line. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, thank you so much for calling. Welcome to the Katie Halper Show. Welcome to WBAI. You're joining me and my co-host, Gabe Pacheco, and our engineer-in-chief, Reggie Johnson. And we're so excited to talk to you guys about this discovery that you made of none other than Bernie Sanders. And can you tell us how this came about?
Well,
the project that you're working on?
Rachel is the real Nancy Drew here, but it began about 6 months ago. There was a picture circulating on the internet of a sit-in at the University of Chicago in 1962 where I was a student. I was in Bernie Sanders' class, And we had caught the university, they couldn't deny it, discriminating against its own black students in housing, you know, rental housing that it owned.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sat into the president's office. We were very polite. You know, we kind of had discussions about should we go into the files or would that be crossing a line? You know, in 68, they occupied the whole building and trashed it. But we were, you know. And a picture started circulating on Facebook where there's somebody addressing, you know, those of us sitting in, and it's identified as Bernie Sanders, and then you can't really see the guy's face, so this controversy broke out. Is it Sanders? Isn't it Sanders?
Right.
And Danny Lyon, who I knew, who was there, at, you know, at the sit-in, he took the picture, and he said, no, it was Bernie, I know it was Bernie, and he posted some other pictures, you know.
Right.
So then somebody sent us, the guy I started Cartemquin with, Jerry Temner, someone sent him an article from the Tribune that mentioned that Bernie Sanders had been arrested at a different demonstration in the same year, at 73rd and Lowe, that was around school desegregation issues. And I'll let Rachel pick it up from there because she's really the one that found the footage.
Great. And again, we are talking to Gordon Quinn and Rachel Dixon of Cartemquin Films. And it is their 50-year anniversary. And they're very esteemed filmmakers. And Gordon Quinn has made films like Hoop Dreams, A Good Man, The Interrupters. And Rachel Dixon is a print and radio journalist and documentary filmmaker. And we are so excited to have them on the show telling us about this discovery. So, Rachel, please continue. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, well, the footage of this particular protest at 73rd and Lowe, you know, was kind of thrown in a box with the other footage from the 1963 boycott, which was this big, you know, boycott that, you know, 200,000 students protested school and protested segregationist policies. And so we, as we've been making this film called 63 Boycott, you know, I'm producing it and Gordon's directing it, we were going through footage and logging it, and this footage came up and we didn't know what it was, and this was a year, maybe almost 2 years ago. And we posted it online, and, you know, through some people's responses online, because the idea of our website is basically putting up stills pulled from our footage and pieces, clips from the footage, to get people to identify themselves or other people they know or places, because so little is kind of known about this history and this event. It wasn't really, you know, there are some newspaper clippings, but it's not something that, like, has been written about in history books. It's not something that people are really paying much attention to. And so we have been gathering information both, like, through people online who participated or know people who participated, and through archival research, we figured out that it was this protest at 73rd and Lowe. And then Jerry, you know, remembered that he had filmed it. And when we saw this article that Jerry sent us that said Bernie Sanders had been at that protest, I went back and looked through our footage. And, you know, we only have a few minutes from this one protest. And it was a protest that went on for a month. So it's a big coincidence that Jerry was there on the day that Bernie Sanders was arrested.
Right.
I think over 169 people were arrested in school segregation demonstrations that summer. So it was kind of, it was a big number. And so I looked through and I kind of compared it to photos online of Bernie Sanders at that time. Gordon got out his yearbook because he went to University of Chicago with Bernie Sanders, and we saw the photo in there. And so we kind of pieced it together, and we were pretty put together a minute-long clip pretty quickly that went viral within a day or two. It was all over social media, and the media response has been huge. People have been calling and asking if they can license the footage.
You guys did the Katie Halper show. I mean, this is pretty big.
Right, where we actually made the Katie Halper show. I mean, you know, Rachel put together a piece on Vimeo with the newspaper clipping and underlay, you know, it's graphic, it comes to life, and it got 500,000 hits. And so, you know, the irony here is that we are, we've been trying to get people, and we're trying to make this film about this huge boycott about what was going on in the Chicago schools 50 years ago, where they were putting these trailers behind the black schools so they wouldn't have to move the kids into the adjacent underutilized white schools. And there was just a huge series of protests leading up to this big protest that then I filmed back when I was a student with Temner and some other students.
Yeah.
And, you know, I offered it to Eyes in the Prize. We've been trying to get somebody to pay attention to this incredibly historic event. Martin Luther King has said that it's the reason that he came to Chicago to start his northern campaign because of the success of this boycott, which really erupted out of the community and community leaders. But the fact that we have this little clip of Bernie Sanders being arrested has put us on the map.
Right. And have you guys followed how this relates to the article in the Washington Post, not to be too inner baseball, but the Jonathan Capehart article where he very subtly said, stop sending around this photo of quote-unquote Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
And claimed it was someone named Bruce Rappaport.
Right. And, you know, Bruce Rappaport was a part of these demonstrations, too. I don't know if it was in 73rd and Lowe, but I do remember that he was in the sit-in at the U of C. And it's, you know, it's one of those things, and now they have his, you know, the woman who was his wife, he's passed away, but, you know, saying, oh, I know it was Bruce. And it's like, you know, Danny Lyon took the picture.
Right.
And Danny was there, and Danny says that it was Bernie. I sort of think it was Bernie, but the picture that we have, it's very hard to see in the sit-in picture because he's facing away from you. But the picture that we have where the guy's being arrested, there you can see his face, and we finally got confirmation from the Sanders campaign that it is him being arrested.
Right.
At first, they sort of weren't saying anything, and they finally said, yes, that is, you know, he looked at it, and he said it's him.
Right. And it's just interesting, because we were talking earlier on about how the media is doing some hit jobs on Bernie Sanders, and this was one of them.
That just struck me. I mean, you know, John Lewis, who's someone I have a lot of respect for, you know, he made that comment, I didn't see him, and he apologized the next day.
Right.
He knew he'd made a mistake.
Right.
He was like, okay, I got it wrong, you know. This reporter, you'd think that when he gets it wrong, he would feel some responsibility to have to set it right, rather than to keep defending his mistake.
In fact, today I went on Facebook and I announced you guys were coming on the show. And I said something, you know, I made a little joke where I said, we'll also be talking to about, and I said something, Jonathan Capehart claimed this footage was someone else named Bruce Rappaport because, well, you know, Sanders, Rappaport, Goldberg, Stein. I was making a little Jew joke that I can make. It's one of the advantages of being a Jew. And Jonathan Capehart actually responded and wrote, and yet I didn't even write about the photo you're talking about. So
he did. You know, he was writing about the one from the sit-in.
Exactly, right.
Where you really can't see the guy's face.
Right.
You know, and I looked at that picture because I was there, and I can't find myself in the picture.
Right.
My roommate's there. I see him. But, you know, we were sitting on the floor, you know. And actually the person that I remember from the sit-in was Denise Richards, who went on to, you know, she was a great a leader in SNCC and
right.
was organizing U of C students to support SNCC.
Right. But this is just all very fascinating. And, it's the Bernie Sanders story is kind of a new angle, and it's an interesting way to look at his past. But can you just tell us more about your project and how people can help support it and identify themselves and others?
You want to take that, Rachel?
Basically it's going to be a short documentary. We're planning on finishing it early next year, and as Gordon started to explain, it's really about this massive protest in October of 1963 when 200,000 students boycotted school, and, you know, some of these students were young, elementary school, high school students, you know, parents were really involved. And over 20,000 people marched downtown. And it was, you know, really kind of a big show of force, and a lot of people say it was the first massive civil rights protest or demonstration, or one of the first in the northern United States. People say that, you know, because of what was happening in Chicago and all the movement and organizing around the segregation and inequality in schools, that's why Martin Luther King decided to come to Chicago.
And we actually found a piece of him, a piece of audio where he literally confirms that. You know, he says something to that effect. And the, you know, people should check out our website, 63boycott.com. And anyone who might have participated should check it out, because we've got 500 stills there taken from our footage, and it's like Facebook. They can just click on it and leave us their identification information and how to get a hold of them. And we've been interviewing these people, and we forget how segregated, you know, it wasn't, I went to school in the South, so I went to legally segregated right. schools, but in Chicago they were also segregated and quite unequal. And we found someone who was in our footage, who we did the most recent interview we did, you know, a woman who was a great student and wanted to be a doctor, and she signs up for Latin, and her guidance counselor tells her, well, you can't take Latin. I mean, that's ridiculous. Yeah. You're going to be a secretary. Why would you need Latin? You know, and she went on to become a PhD. She's a medical researcher. She corrected me. She's not a medical doctor, but she's, you know, a PhD who is working at the highest level at Johns Hopkins, but still carries that anger of being told, you know, well, you're not going to be able to take Latin.
Right.
So I think that, you know, we're the other thing that resonates in our film, and we have a lot of contemporary footage too. You know, 50 schools were closed in Chicago, neighborhood schools, mostly in, you know, Latino and African American neighborhoods, and there were huge protests around that. And when we had our little clip on our website, we had this 3.5 minute clip of our footage. And, you know, the students who were protesting took our clip, interwove it with their own protests, and make the connection to 50 years ago and put it up on YouTube. And so we tracked them down and, you know, got an interview with them. You know, we were, of course, thrilled that they took our clip.
Right. That's great. And
I think I just want to make the point that, you know, part of the goal behind our film is to show, you know, the famous civil rights leaders weren't the only people kind of making change happen, and you know, the future Bernie Sanders and the future, you know, and Rosa Parks and those people, Martin Luther King, but also these people who have gone, you know, unknown their whole lives. They're not famous people, but they're making
right.
a huge impact in society. And so, like, locating those people and bringing attention to them is kind of a goal. And then the other quick thing I'll add is that we are still looking for funding to finish the film. So if you go to 63boycott.com, there is a button to donate if anyone's interested.
Yeah, really important.
Really important. And after you donate to that, you know what you got to do. You got to come back around to WBAI. Give to WBAI.org. We'll do matching grants.
Right. We're all, I was listening, you know, we were listening in. I heard you talking about, you know, your Jewish card and stuff. I'm Jewish despite my name.
Oh, yeah, I was wondering. Okay.
I have an unusual name.
Yeah.
My mother's last name was Gordon,
which
is a Jewish last name and a WASP first name, so it's my first name. And we're not sure quite how we became Quinns.
Were you part of the famous Quinstein clan?
Yeah, there was different, you know, Ellis Island,
right.
Kavin, it sounded
right.
like Quinn.
Right.
But actually a friend of mine who in New York works at a museum actually found Billa Ladings from the turn of the century with Jewish Quins coming over, you know, on the boat from Ukraine.
Wow.
Spelled Q-U-I-N with a single N.
Wow.
So, my father passed away years ago, but he would have loved that story.
Well, this is a lot of archival research.
Yeah.
I think it's the tie that binds all these stories together.
Yeah, and we had the original footage, but now that we've gotten all this traction, all these other images are popping up. So because all this was happening around the Bernie thing, the Tribune, the paper here, went into its archives and found beautiful stills from this demonstration at 73rd and Lowe. And one of the people that we've interviewed, Rosie Simpson, who was a leader of this whole demonstration and one of the people who sparked the big 63 boycott, they have a great picture of her, you know. And when we interviewed her, we were like, don't you have any pictures of you when you were demonstrating or, you know, out? And it's like here it was in the Tribune's archives, but, you know, they were sort of buried away.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we would love to have you back, and we'd love to get updates about what you're working on.
Great.
And how the project's going. And we will link to you on our SoundCloud page and our Facebook page. We'll make sure to share your video.
Great. Yeah, link both to 63boycott.com and cartemquinfilms.com because we are running, you know, it's our 50th anniversary, and we are running a film a week for free off of our website. So we're running some of our older films, and, you know, throughout the year we'll be running all these different films. And I think, hey, Emily, do you know when American Arab, did that already play? We have a film coming up on American Reframed on PBS.
Oh, great.
Called American Arab.
Great.
But it hasn't run yet, you're saying? It ran already.
Oh, okay.
Although the free movies.
You lose. This is why you got to donate.
Yeah, the free movies are every week, though. Just go to the Cartemquin website, and you'll see a free movie.
Great. Yeah, we'll link that on the Katie Halper Facebook page.
Yes.
Great.
Which everybody should like, too.
Yes.
Great.
And we will like your page, too, on Facebook.
Great.
Great. Well, have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay.
And those were filmmakers Gordon Quinberg,
Documentary filmmaker. Love digging through the crates, finding old stills.
Gordon Quinn and Rachel Dixon for Cartemquin.
That is definitely
films.
One of the reasons why people should donate money to
Katie
Halper Show for WBAI.
Yes.
Because really, I mean, the guest that you just had on.
Yeah.
During this duration.
Yes, this very show.
This very show. And who were the guests again?
Adriana Mateas, who is a...
Say it like you mean it now.
Okay. First we had Brad.
There you go.
Brad Johnson.
The climatologist.
The climatologist. The rain man. Then we had Adriana Maestas. Who's pushing back on the Huerta Gate narrative. She's saying, you know what? Those rumors about Bernie Sanders
English
supporters
only.
Chanting English only during Dolores Huerta's speech. And
fibs. Hyperbole.
Hyperbafibs.
Yeah.
And they belong in the garbage along with those fibs about Bernie Sanders killing a puppy.
He never did that.
He never did that during the last 25 years.
Yeah.
No incident.
We've got no footage of that. Yeah. No stills.
No footage of that. And if there were, we would have found it.
That's right.
And I just want to point out that, you know, this is you support the show. You hear people like the filmmakers we just had from Cartemquin Films, Gordon Quinn and Rachel and Adriana and Brad, and you get to, you know, the best part probably is actually just calling them by their first names. I mean, that's kind of how intimate it is on the Katie Halper Show.
That's how we roll. It's a mom and pop operation.
It's a mom and pop. It is not a BJ's operation. Yeah. We said it once, we'll say it again.
Yeah.
Happy to talk to Rachel Dixon, Gordon Quinn, Brad Johnson, just in this one show. And we're going to play you a little bit of a clip of a interview that we did with Jay Smooth. But again, we're the focus of today's show, and it's very telling, is that we're exposing how the media distorts reality. And you know what? If you want a media that doesn't distort reality, you gotta reach into those pockets.
Put your 10 sticky digits deep into those JNCO jeans.
JNCO jeans.
Or those perfectly tailored slacks.
Exactly. Or the bra. Maybe you keep some money in your bra.
Pull out that patent leather wallet.
Yes.
Patent leather.
Open it up.
Open it up.
Check out that thick wad of cabbage you got in that pocket.
Thick wad.
Pull out each little greenback and check out who the founding father on that greenback
is.
Is it a Hamilton? Is it a Jefferson?
We don't know.
Is it a Jackson? Is it a Franklin?
It's all about the...
Benjamins.
And the WBAIs and the Katie Halper Show and the Gabe Pachecos and the Reggie Johnsons.
You probably can't you can't send us those greenbacks, but you can find
that. Don't use the word greenbacks. It's very offensive. Just because your dad is from Mexico, Gabe.
Find that plastic, baby.
Find that plastic, baby.
Find those MasterCards.
Find those MasterCards. Visa. We take everything.
Yeah.
And, we take everything.
What do they got to do? They got to call somebody.
They got to call somebody, and somebody they got to call.
Who are you going to call?
Well, they can call 212-209-2950. Once again, that number is 212-209-2950, or go to give2wbai.org on the web. And as you know, guys, because we are connected to the internet, we are streaming worldwide. And all around the world can listen to the knowledge.
What up?
Yes. Uzbekistan, they could get the money. Hey, they could give us money over there as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, the information that we get here that is unique here, and particularly here on the Katie Halper Show. And there is some gifts that the Katie Halper Show is offering during
this.
You
get a Greatest Hits CD signed by me and Gabe. Our John Hancock's. People pay a lot of money for those. Let me tell you, they're lining up outside of the mom and pop store, not outside the BJ's. By the way, I'm sorry, listeners. I just want to describe what's happening. Gabe is looking back and forth to me and Reggie like an owl. I love it. It's great. I wish you guys. We're going to start videotaping the show, right?
Yeah.
Don't worry. Your donations won't go towards that. Maybe that can be a gift as well.
Yeah.
Anyone want to come and film us? We're offering
snacks. You want an empanada after the show?
We got you.
Hey guys.
You're
gonna like this.
Oh my gosh.
You're gonna like this.
What happened? Eric.
From St. Louis.
Missouri.
Yes. Donated to the Katie Halper Show.
And guys, I love St. Louis.
Meet me in St. Louis. Am I right?
That's please.
Right. I spoke to a judge yesterday from, you guys, I'm going to bring you a great story in a couple weeks on the death penalty. I can't tell you about it, but I spoke to two judges last night. Get excited.
Okay, so we got to tune in 2 weeks to figure it out. But Eric from St. Louis.
Thank you, Eric. Eric, we love you.
That's right.
Eric, you're going to get either, I'm not sure. He's going to get something great. You can get a Greatest Hits CD where we bring you interviews with Nate Silver, Judah Friedlander, Margaret Cho, Robert Maripol. Sorry, they're brothers. Lawyers from the Center for Constitutional Rights, filmmakers, everything. Molly Crabapple.
Love her.
The artist Molly Crabapple.
She was amazing.
She's amazing. Ta-Nehisi Coates. Jelani Cobb. Historian Claire Potter.
Mm-hmm. Anna Day,
who was detained in Bahrain.
Sequestered.
Rebecca Carroll. Sarita McFadden. Just going back to the beginning. Ava Farkas, the executive director of the Metropolitan Council on Housing. Now, our focus today... And we're showing and telling. We don't want to just show or just tell. So we're doing both. We're showing and telling the media bias.
Media distortion.
The liberal bias. And when we say liberal, we mean liberal as opposed to left.
Yes.
You guys get it? You're picking up what I'm putting down?
I get it.
Again, we talked about how what's interesting is that Jonathan Capehart, again, went after a picture saying it wasn't Bernie Sanders, said it was Rappaport, which reminds me, the guy named Bruce Rappaport.
He was like, it could be Rappaport, could be Buddy Holly. Who is it?
Exactly.
It's Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders, who looks just like Buddy Holly. Oh. Mary Tyler Moore. little Weezer reference to age myself from the 15-year-olds who listen to WBAI. So what's interesting is Jonathan Capehart wrote this article. He basically schmeared, if you will. He schmeared Bernie Sanders instead of smearing. Get it? He wrote this article on February 11th, and it took him 2 days to write something. And this is what the original article said, okay? Stop sending around this photo of Bernie Sanders. Pretty unequivocal, right? And then 2 days later, he sends this really postmodern...
Was it an article? Was that a command to the internet in general?
Yeah.
Was it just like, hey, internets?
Yeah.
Stop it.
Shut it down. Then he writes, Bernie Sanders and the Clash of Memory. That's his follow-up. It takes him 2 days to pen that.
Sounds like the hunger of memory.
Yeah, right? The great hunger. And then he starts out with all these quotes and, you know, it's like all hell broke loose when I wrote Thursday that folks should stop sending around this photo of Bernie Sanders. Sorry, Gabe, he wasn't talking about the internets. He was talking to folks. I don't like that term. That's everyone. Everyone says that, though. Like,
folks?
That's not Jonathan Capehart, yeah. But what's fascinating is that, again, it took him 2 days to acknowledge that mistake. It took him an hour to write me back on Facebook to point out I had linked to the wrong picture. And I issued an apology. And so I don't have an entire newspaper staff behind me.
Selectively reactive.
Yeah, exactly.
Attentive.
Yes, attentive, yeah. My friend was like, just tell him you saw, sorry you linked to the wrong photo he had lied about. It's kind of funny. I didn't call him a liar. I'm quoting someone.
Oh, I see.
But yeah, the media takedown of Bernie Sanders is real. It's real.
And?
You can hear the truth.
Here on the Katie Halper
Show. Here on the Katie Halper Show on WBAI. Because you guys, you may not know this, but the Clinton campaign is really trying its hardest to present a monolith of black people, right? Like all black people that are the same and they all love the Clintons because Bill Clinton was the first black president.
So I've heard.
So we've heard. He also talked about how everyone's mixed race the other day, which was kind of weird.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We'll play that next time. But really, we got to try to get Michelle Alexander on the show. But Michelle Alexander, the author of The New Jim Crow.
I love Michelle Alexander.
So great.
She read that book.
Such a great book. She wrote Why Hillary Clinton Doesn't Deserve the Black Vote.
Oh,
Van Jones
has
praised Bernie Sanders' civil rights record.
Really?
Jones? Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. Who else? Nina Turner, right? The former, who actually is one of the people who Killer Mike would vote for, remember?
That's right.
Coming full story, just last week we had Jane Elliott on. I don't know if you guys remember, we had Jane Elliott, who is a woman who thinks that Hillary is trying to co-opt the female vote by just appealing to gender as opposed to policy, which is a pretty, I don't know. Some people may agree with that. Some people may agree that the more feminist candidate is Bernie Sanders. This feminist may think that.
It depends on how you define feminism.
And actually, speaking of which, you guys are going to come out March 8th. We're doing a live show in the cafe.
Here?
Yes, a debate on Bernie and women. And Hillary and women. And we're going to have some great people like Liza Featherstone from The Nation. Now, again, we are showing you the irresponsible actions of the media. Remember, we just supported earlier on how it was reported that Sanders supporters were chanting English only. Probably not true. Definitely not true.
Hard to hear on the
Bernie
video.
Bernie Sanders was saying that, yeah. Look out, guys, for David Brock. You guys know David Brock? He is on the attack. He's the founder of Media Matters. See, this is a liberal on liberal war, or liberal on
establishment.
Liberal establishment on anti-establishment war. It's not just the people on the right attacking people on the left.
Is it the liberal established political party apparatus versus progressives?
Gabe, you asked that question like you don't already know the answer.
I'm just wondering.
No, but I'm praising you. I'm not insulting you. Don't hustle our audience. We all know how smart you are. But yeah, again, you probably wouldn't know this, but Ta-Nehisi Coates, we know that he said that he's voting for Bernie Sanders.
He came around.
He came around, probably because he heard our show. We had an interview with Nando Villa. We explored some of the contradictions in Ta-Nehisi Coates' articles. The major one for us, I think, was how he used the assassination of Abraham Lincoln to try to encourage Bernie Sanders to pick up reparations.
Step up his martyr game.
Step up his martyr game, yeah.
He's like, the target isn't big enough on you yet.
You've
only gone against big banks and...
Right. He was like, you know, people say supporting reparations is divisive. Well, you know what else was divisive? Ending slavery, which got Lincoln... So divisive was it that it got Lincoln shot in the head. It's like, that's a good PR move. Maybe not. Good way to make your point, I mean. But also, we want to tell you something else, guys, okay? Ta-Nehisi Coates, Michelle Alexander. We got Van Jones praising the legacy. We got Nina Turner. So don't be fooled by the idea that all black people are...
And Ta-Nehisi Coates is part of the best of package.
Oh, yeah, right? He'll be on
he's
that.
Part
yeah,
of
yeah.
The best of package
yeah, exactly.
as well.
Well, Cornel West, people love Cornel West, right?
Cornel
Not surprising
West.
That he also right. has praised
Not surprising.
Sanders. Guess who supported Jesse Jackson in 1988?
Who supported
Bernie Sanders. Guess who didn't?
Hillary.
The Clintons, of course, right.
The Clintons.
Right. By the way, Cornel West, Brother Cornel, if you're listening, please come on the show because he called Clinton. He said Sister Hillary Clinton is the Millie Vanilla of American politics.
I
Ouch.
Read that.
Them's
that
fighting
is hilarious.
Words.
That is hilarious.
Them's fighting words,
that
right?
That is hilarious.
Yeah. And Van Jones, yeah, pointed out that Bernie Sanders was actively involved in civil rights history. Well, Hillary was with Barry Goldwater. We forgive her, but it's an interesting contrast. Again, it's about evolving. But if you evolve from a Goldwater Republican to telling young black men that they're super predators who need to be brought to heel, it's not quite the evolution we're hoping for.
And didn't she said after the Nevada primaries, or was it the Nevada primaries or Nevada caucus?
Caucus.
There was an article that was going out there saying that if black voters, if black black people voted for her, she will end racism.
Oh, that's good.
That was in the Hill. That was from the Hill.
I thought Rosa Parks already ended it. Remember?
Well, evidently not. Right. And it will be the job of Hillary in order to fix that.
Right.
She will end racism. According, cool. Yeah, that's what, according to the Hill on right. Saturday. That's what it
well,
said.
Well, the Hill, we remember the Hill misreported the Killer Mike thing. They called Jane Elliott, the educator, right. the woman who started the Blue Eyes, Brown Eyes exercise we had on last week. Listen to it on iTunes. Support the show so we can have people like Jane Elliott calling in, who's hysterical. She said it was hard for her to talk over the devil ears, the horns, horns that I just called devil ears. And also, you're not hearing the story. So many people are saying that that Hillary is the more electable one. You know,
she doesn't win against any of the Republicans
exactly.
in the
right.
projections.
Right. So there is a consensus that it's going to be Donald Trump, right?
Well, that's because his advertisements have dubstep in the background. It's like a dance
the
party
best.
In the ads.
In the ads,
go
yeah.
on YouTube and check
oh
out
my
Donald
God,
Trump's
we
ads.
Gotta listen. You know what? We're going to throw into our greatest hits DVD.
He's going to cut the head off ISIS.
Excuse me. Excuse me. He's definitely doing an ISIS decapitation. But
live.
We have our theme song where we pick the theme song that Donald Trump should have come out to when he announced his presidency, and we'll throw that little selection into the greatest hits CD.
Oh, that's in the greatest hits
yes.
CD.
But
that's
and good. Again, you just $50, guys, $50, and you get a thank you gift. That's an amazing greatest hits. Plus, you get a Jay Smooth live interview, and we're gonna play you a little bit of Jay Smooth. But again, I just want to remind you also that in virtually every poll, guys, guess who does better against Trump?
And win most of it.
And Cruz.
And win.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders.
The burn. Feeling the burn. Guys, I don't know if you can tell which candidate we're behind on the Katie Halper show, but we're going to play a little sample, just a little bit, a few minutes. excuse me. Of what you see, you hear that cough? That's from that labor that we put into the show.
212.
We happen to be doing it.
209.
In a mine.
2950 is the number.
My black lung is really acting up.
The canaries are all dead.
Yeah.
212.
Make sure that Katie's black lung did not go in vain.
Yes.
212-209-2950. Or go to give2wbai.org. And for a pledge of $50, you can get the best of Katie Halper and her interviews that she has done so far.
So far. I'm doing more, though, guys.
Well, that's why I said
so
far.
I know. We're on fire.
Yeah.
We're going to have this great event on March 8th you got to come out for. We're hoping to get Killer Mike. We had Jane Elliot, the woman who Killer Mike quoted. We got Al Giordano. Al Giordano was amazing. We had Dar Williams. Kind of huge. So call that number. Call that number.
212-209-2950.
Again, that's
212-209-2950.
Sarah Jaffe, the writer. We had her on. We had Meredith Clark. We had Melissa Gira Grant. And we're going to play you a little bit of Jay Smooth right now.
Really little.
Really little.
Okay, here we go. Let me just look for it. I thought I had it. Oh, yeah, here it is, right here. Come on.
See, guys, this is the support.
According to Wired Magazine, this guy is the hardest blogging man in hip-hop.
What?
Yeah. Jay Smooth, everyone.
Yeah.
Also, the man behind the Underground Railroad. Some people would take issue with that attribution. But yes, the Underground Railroad is actually the longest running hip-hop
radio show
in
New York.
And he's the man behind the Ill Doctrine video series. You may have seen his videos on Don Lemon
and respectability politics.
Not on his show.
Oh, no, yeah, probably not.
And when he tells us that his rant about saggy pants and littering and no wedding, no womb was just common sense advice that everyone should hear, he's willfully ignoring the context in which he spoke. A national conversation about the death of Trayvon Martin, about how we as a country could let him be killed, let his killer go unpunished, and let our children have to go out in the world knowing that they could be...
And if you want to hear the rest of that Jay Smooth amazing video, we'll bring you that. We'll bring you an interview with Jay Smooth. We'll bring you an interview with Dar Williams, with Claire Potter. We'll bring you interviews with Ta-Nehisi Coates. We'll bring you interviews with Jelani Cobb. We'll bring you interviews with Ted Alexandro, with Nate Silver, with the man who made a helped create a monument to slaves in New York City, right here on Wall Street. We'll bring you interviews with Desiree Birch. We'll bring you interviews with Julie Goldman, interviews with Heather Gold. Margaret Cho, did we mention Margaret Cho? Breaking news, so just go to give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org, or call that number.
That's 212
number.
212-209-2950. Once again, 212-209-2950, or go to give2wbai.org.
And thank you to thank you, Eric.
From Missouri.
From Missouri. Who else do we have?
Let me see. Catherine.
Catherine.
From
New Jersey.
From New Jersey. And also Curtis from Glencove.
Glencove. Lovely. So check us out next week, every Wednesday at 6 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM, iTunes, SoundCloud. Give2wbai.org. Get a great DVD of Jay Smooth, the man of mystery, exposed.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hi friends, this is the information you've been waiting for. WBAI Latin Music Benefit Fundraiser will be held on April 1st at SOB's, 204 Varick Street in downtown Manhattan, and will be featuring the music of the Mambo Legends, formerly the Tito Puente Orchestra, with vocalist Cita Rodriguez, also myself, Chico Alvarez. I'll be performing with Conjunto Sabor, the U.S. debut of String Bembe with Tatiana Ferrer and Daronil Gonzalez, and the SOB debut of Nahibe La Gitana and Orquesta Tribu. Doors open at 6 p.m. until 11. A $25 donation will go straight to WBAI. Tickets go on sale February 8th, available online at WBAI.org or SOB's upcoming events website. Support Latin music shows New World Gallery and Con Sabor Latino every Saturday and Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM or WBAI.org.
This is Savannah Baylor McLean, host of State of the Arts NYC. On Thursday, March 3rd, join WBAI and the West Harlem Art Fund at the National Jazz Museum in Harlem. This will be in their new location at 58 West 129th Street off of Lenox Avenue for an intimate night of jazz in the Piano Lounge with a reception to follow. Featured artists are Daniel Schneider and Dave Taylor. This event benefits WBAI Pacifica Radio. Price is only $50. Go to give2wbai.org to purchase tickets. This event benefits WBAI Pacifica Radio and the good works that it does.
Alrighty. Hey, I can't really hear myself, but who cares? I'm not listening to myself anyway. Hey, you know what? I just realized that it's Wednesday, February 24th, 2016. And usually on Wednesday, it means it's time Just keep talking.
Just keep talking. Hey, world, this is the Personal Computer Show, and I'm Hank Key, and I'm waiting for Stevie to get me back on. Are you back on now?
Hey, Stevie.
Okay. You know what? Since we're not on regularly, we have to relearn the system, and I still can't hear myself.
Keep talking, Hank.
Keep talking. Okay. Hey, listen, world. This is the Personal Computer Show, and I'm Hanky in the studio of BAI in Brooklyn with our engineer, Stevie Deeby. He's a 20-plus-year veteran of WBAI, and he's still learning on the job. And hopefully, by the time I'm finished talking about Stevie, he'll get me on the air, or at least I can hear myself. Are we there yet? Joe, can you hear me? Joe can't hear me. And I'm still speaking, and he can't hear me. Joe, are you there?
Hey, we can't hear each other, Reggie.
Hey, Stevie?
Yeah, are you there?
I'm here, but I can't hear anything.
Okay, well, you heard me, right?
No, just you, but I couldn't hear Hank at all.
Okay, Hank, talk.
Okay, world, where are you?
All right, hey.
Oh, okay, he's over there.
It's called Little mic. Switch, okay?
All right,
let's make like we just started anew and... We welcome everyone to the Personal Computer Show. I'm Hank Key, and I'm in the studio with Stevie Deeby in Brooklyn. And we are on, and by the way, on remote joining me, and Stevie is my sidekick, Joe King. And Joe, say
hello. Yeah, I'm here, but I couldn't find where you were. I think there was a small technical problem up at the top of the show.
Well, you know what? They need to label the board to tell you which...
Now, wait a minute. We need money to put labels on, okay?
Oh, come on. I can do that with my magic marker, you know? So I'll do that right now.
Yeah, but Stevie, only if your marker really is magic.
No. Stevie, it's got to be in English, all right?
Then I have a problem.
Hey. No. We'll use the old-fashioned one, PhD.
Yeah, okay. Listen, we are on this evening for a two-hour stint from 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As part of a membership fundraising drive, and we're scheduled to resume normal broadcasting starting next week with a big if. And what's the big if? We have to raise some serious money in order to resume regular scheduling and for the Personal Computer Show to remain viable on the air. Look, let's cut to the chase. We need you, the listeners, to call 212-209-2950. And if you're listening outside a calling area, you could go to www.wbai.org to make a donation. And in order to stay relevant on the broadcast schedule, we need the supporters of the Personal Computer Show to consider the show itself as a premium. If you feel we bring you value content week after week, please, we ask you to make a statement tonight by demonstrating your support for the Personal Computer Show with a donation to WBAI. And that's very important because... we are scheduled to come back on a regular schedule next week. You know what? There's no certainty of that. And if we don't raise enough fund overall for the station, I just guess we might be preempted again. And we're fast reaching a level where preemption almost equals total time on the air. Well, hey, Joe, we have a number of premiums, and I'll just go through it quickly. And I would like you to comment on the first one, the WBAI Buddy.
That's probably the most important premium we are offering, or the station is offering. Because what we're doing is we're saying, please, don't just make a pledge of $75 or $100 or $150 so that you can get a book or a DVD. What we're saying is become a WBAI Buddy. give the station your credit card number or your bank information so that every month they can count on a small donation from you and they can plan their budget. A small donation like $10 a month, directly taken from your bank account or from your credit card, enables them to do planning of repairs, planning of paying for the rent, paying for staff, those parts of staff that are paid staff. Remember, not everybody is like Hank and me and Stevie devoting and donating our time to the station. Some people actually have to make a living so that they can buy groceries. WBAI Buddy is someone who signs up to make a recurring monthly donation with a credit card or electronic funds transfer from your bank, and it's just a small amount. It's like a couple of cups of coffee from one of those fancy barrister-type coffee shops, or it's like buying a pack of poison that you can smoke and put into your lungs. Or a good dry martini. It would be more my style these days. Just one a month. And listen, you're not just going to have the pleasure of knowing you're going to be supporting Hank and me and Stevie and David and all the others who are involved in this. You'll also receive a tote bag that says you're a BAI buddy. And you'll receive a buddy card, which will enable you to get discounts at museums and stores and restaurants that have donated these discounts to the station. You'll really be supporting the station. Hank, what else do we have?
Well, let me just say that from 2 weeks ago, we are still making available the Personal Computer Show Urgent Care Pack. I'll go through that a little later. It's a requested donation of $75. And what it is that it's called, very often you're stuck in a position. It's not quite an emergency or almost an emergency, but you really have to find something to do something, and I'll go through that. I put together a bunch of utilities to do it, and in addition to that, I've combined that with I call it urgent, only because Windows XP has been discontinued, unsupported, and if you try to download all the software that was related to it, it's no longer available. It's on this urgent care pack. So for those who may have to resurrect Windows XP, is part of it, part of Windows 7, that's also no longer available. In other words, the XP support in Windows 7 was taken down by Microsoft. Well, we have it. Okay, so that's included in the urgent care pack, and we'll tell you what it is. And we have also the full installation of the Windows 10 Pro installation, two DVDs, both in 64-bit and 32-bit operating system format. And we also have the same thing for the Windows 10 Home installation, two DVD. And we'll go through what that is. In other words, you could use these for multiple purposes. If you happen to have Windows 7, 8, or 8.1, and you want to upgrade it, yes, you can. But as I said on the air, it takes anywhere from 3.5 hours and up, because the first hour is easily the download time to download the upgrade. So basically, you use this to upgrade your Windows 7, 8, or 8.1. And the other reason why you may want it is because come July 28th of this year, it's no longer free. So if you have it, guess what? You got it.
In other words, you can get the upgrade, but you don't have to install it. And if for whatever reason you don't want to install it now, you won't be able to get it later. At least you won't be able to get it free later.
Yeah, and I just want to comment that these two premiums, although I call it installation build 1511, I took the equivalent of it, which is build 10286. And what makes that different is that in build 1511, you need to key in the product ID of Windows 7, 8, or 8.1, and you got to go through that.
That is the product ID of the version that you already have on your machine.
However, with this build, if you happen to have a legitimate Windows 7, 8, or 8.1, in many cases, if you don't have the time to look it up, or because a label came off, or whatever reason is, I find it to be working most of the time, and I've done more than a dozen.
Meaning
upgrades.
It works even if you are unable, for whatever reason, to key in the number you're supposed to key in.
Now, if you happen to have a Windows 10 that you're already running, okay, it's perfect. No problem at all. You don't have to key it in. It says, don't worry, we'll take care of it for you. So all these are requested donation of $75. But let me tell you, tonight we're going to spend a little time talking about what's been happening. And the big thing in the past week or two is the FBI versus Apple. And there's been a lot of wannabe journalists. I call it wannabe journalists, wannabe computer people. And I'm mad as hell because a lot of the stuff that...
No, you only said half of it, Hank. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Well, you know what? I wish I could say that, but... some of these people, they are called pundits, they're called experts. They don't know what the hell.